Welcome to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. Prepare your heart for laughter and tears as we share the unpolished stories of the homeless and hurting, hope and transformation. Here's your host, director of the Union Gospel Mission, Pastor Tim Lane.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. I have a friend with me today that we're going to talk a little bit about her volunteering at the mission. And I wanted to try to encourage you guys. You know, so often our moods can change with the weather. Today I'm looking out the studio window and it's nice and blue. There's a little bit of a wind. Sometimes when it's cloudy and gray, as it has been most of the time this winter, we can become a little depressed, introspective. And things can seem a lot bigger than they really are. But one of the most important things that any of us can realize is that if you are in Christ Jesus, there is more than the sun, S-U-N, to lift your spirits. There's the sun, S-O-N, that is, if we know we are in Christ Jesus, we know that the clouds are going to part, the sun's going to shine, and that we are going to have a new day tomorrow. Now, I do have to warn you that if you're not in Christ and you've come to a saving knowledge of Christ, the good news is all you have truly given up is death and hell and misery for eternity. But it doesn't mean when you come to Christ that everything is going to, you know, the bills are going to go away, the credit card people are going to get off your back, that you're going to be at a great job, a beautiful car, a big house. That is not what a walk of Christ is like. What a walk of Christ is like is one that remembers that our Lord sacrificed everything that we could walk with Him into eternity. And so Stephen, when he stood before the mockers and they picked up the stones, he was a faithful man of God. And the good news was the heavens opened up and he saw the face of Jesus. The bad news for physicality was he was stoned to death on the street. So what I'm trying to say is I don't want your circumstances that you're in, whether you're a believer or non-believer. If you're a believer, if you just come to Christ or you've been in for years, God never promised that there wouldn't be things that would be hard. Matter of fact, the Bible promises us that in this world, there will be trouble. And so, if you are not a believer, I encourage you to find a healthy, well-balanced, Bible-believing church and go and be there and listen to the Word of God. And if you are a believer and you are lonely and you are saying, I feel so separate from God, my question is, how much time are you spending in your Word of God? How much time are you spending on your knees in prayer? And are you going to be with other believers? And no, it isn't good enough for you just to go online and listen to some pastor. That's fine if you want to do that also. But the Bible tells us, forsake yourselves not the assembling one with another, because we need the mutual support of believers as well. I have always used the old illustration that if you have a fireplace and you take one of the coals or the embers out from the fireplace and set it on the hearth, it burns hot and red, and within just a few seconds or a minute, it grows cooler, darker, and because it's alone. Mm-hmm. Put it back in with the other coals, everything comes alive again. So don't overlook the fact that you need to be with other believers so they can support you and you support them, and so we can face the trials and tribulations of life together as God's people. So blessings on you today. And so Deborah is with me today. And
hello.
Deborah, why don't you, first of all, how long have you been coming to the mission?
A couple times with my different churches, but I started with the Women's Clothes Closet in December 2022.
And you knew Kim Souza because you used to work with her in a different ministry.
Yeah, right? We were doing this. She had a sidewalk ministry, mm-hmm. and so I'd go on Wednesdays and do that with her.
Yeah,
and a bunch of people from our
that
church.
That was to support life and mm-hmm. and you know, because we live in a society that we think that birth control should be done at the sacrifice of a human life, and that is not how it is.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's vitally important that people understand that, you know, that old bumper sticker, it's not a choice, it's a baby. And I believe that 100%. I mean, you know, we talk about it as it's just an inconvenience. Well, it's not an inconvenience, it's a baby. And so, but at any rate, you did that for a long time, right?
Yep, for as long as Kim had done the ministry, we did that. And then she had to shut that down in order to work for the Women's Clothes Closet. So she came over, and I heard she came over, and so I was thought I'd join her there. So
yeah, and I actually, Kim did that for quite a while she was working for us, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it became so hard to do that. It's very hard to divide what you're doing in ministry. And she does a vital job, and she does it well at the mission. And so, Deborah, you came over. Do you go to church with her?
I actually go to Calvary Solid Ground, where Pastor Jed Dolland, is my pastor there. But yeah.
Well, he happens to be my friend as well. he worked for me for many years. Jed was a unique individual in regards to the fact that he went through the program. He graduated the program. He went out into the world. He had jobs, and he was hurt. He came back and wanted to volunteer. He wasn't looking for a job. And so he came back all these years clean, sober. He had a wife, and he had been successful in doing the things he did. Loves the Lord. And so when he came back, he was volunteering. He was coming in on our Friday morning. We have a prayer breakfast on Friday mornings where we have guest speakers, and I speak. And anyway, we did that for years. And he would come every Friday almost. And so I asked him one day, I said, you know, Jed, you've been so faithful at volunteering and everything. Would you consider coming to work for us? And he said, well, let me pray about it. I said, I wouldn't have it any other way except you pray about it. He did, and then he became, in his church, he helped more. He started speaking there. He became an associate pastor. And then the pastor who retired, they wanted Jed to take over, and he took over a couple of years ago, and he finally had to resign and do that full time. Mm-hmm. So yes, Jed is a friend, and I have great respect for him, and so, at any rate,
yep, a lot of things led me to the mission. It's the Lord. I love that.
It's always the Lord.
Yeah, and amazing.
Yeah, it really is. When I was in the trade, I didn't even know the mission was back mm-hmm. there, and there were several wholesale houses right on Richards Boulevard, but I didn't even know the mission was back there.
Oh wow.
I started volunteering there mm-hmm. like 35 years ago, something like mm-hmm. that, bringing the church down and all those kind of things. So tell me, you started volunteering at the mission. So, but let me ask you, was it what you expected when you volunteered?
I don't know what I expected. Mm-hmm. I do have a little history with the mission about a half a mile down the road, just like you, my family, dad had worked in a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always knew the mission was there for a long time, but you just never know until you actually do something what it's like. And I didn't know the Lord back at the time, years ago, when my dad worked at that warehouse, and I would see people and around, and I knew, like you, I knew the mission was there. The difference is that the people, when you're, I work in the showers. So And we give, you know, I'd say 4 to 10 showers, depending on the day. And you get to know people that way. And a lot of repeat people come back and back. And so you get to know them as people and their needs and where they're at in their lives. So that's a big difference than just having someone pass you by on the street or seeing them mm-hmm. for the dinners. Sometimes I would go to the dinners that sure. you have at the mission. So very different.
What warehouse did your dad work in?
It was North 10th and North B, so about a half mile away.
Okay.
Down the.
Yeah, like I said, I went to a lot of wholesale houses. You said something interesting, and we've talked about it on the air before, but I'm not sure everybody realizes. You said that you work helping in the showers.
Yes.
So could you explain that?
Well, it's there. The clothes closet, we've expanded it. At first, mm-hmm. it was just the clothes closet, and what we would do is we always present the women have to receive the gospel. We teach them, and after that, they can then go shopping. And we've expanded into two different things. One is you can also shower, or you can get your hair done. So the women can sign up to take a shower, and they can shop a little bit beforehand. We're there. We have it's between two of the buildings. We have heat and two separate private places for them, and we have toiletries, towel and washcloth and soap and body wash, and they can come in and we give them hot water, and we love on them, we pray for them, we talk to them about what's going on, mm-hmm. And it's just something we do, and the ladies come out refreshed. We've had some of the greatest stories where literally a lady had a job interview, and we were able to get her. She took a shower, she got her hair done, she got clothed, you know, mm-hmm. got her clothes, and off she went. So I love to see the way the Lord meets, you know, whether it be the showers, the clothes closet, and the hair, just meets needs.
Absolutely. One of the key things that you were just talking about was that this lady had a job interview. And yep. so I think so many people, when they hear that we have a women's clothes closet and we have now showers. And by the way, this is the first time in 62 years we've been able to give showers to the ladies. And that was such a blessing. The things that came out of COVID, there's always something good that comes out of something horrible. We had to buy a bunch of portable showers so that the men from the street could still come in and get a shower. And so we bought these portable showers because it was cheaper to buy them than to rent them, because we had no idea how long it was going to go on. At the end of that time, we stored the showers. We were going to sell them. And then Eileen and Kim had said, well, could we use two of those and have showers for women? And mm-hmm. I said, you know, that is a great idea. And so we started figuring out where we could put them, how that was going to mm-hmm. work. And so then we put up privacy screens so that little area in there,
yeah.
that in case somebody did come out of the showers, which are self-contained, nobody's going to be embarrassed one way or the other. And so for the first time in 62 years, we got to let ladies have showers. And so that's where that came about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to her point, we have some outside heaters that were donated to us, which really helped. And the board of directors just approved awnings to go over the top.
Oh, that's wonderful. I didn't know that.
Yep. Well, it just happened yesterday.
Oh, okay. Great.
Not yesterday, mm-hmm. Tuesday. And so I went to the board and I said, look, we can do these awning things. I said, that's going to keep the rain and that kind of stuff off the ladies between the two buildings and maybe trap a little of the heat. But if not, we still have those big outside heaters. It's still going to be open on the ends. So it's not like the heaters are going to build up any kind of, you know, gas in mm-hmm. there. But, yeah, it was pretty exciting, huh?
Yes. Yep. And I love the way the heaters came in,
yes.
were made available, too. The Lord met that need right when the weather was changing.
Yep. We have donors, businesses that donate to us. And the one biggest business donates to us. You've seen these heaters. They're big. They're what they use in outside restaurants and things like that in the wintertime. So you said that you work with the ladies in the showers. What does that look like? What do you do for them?
They come in. First, they choose an outfit. After they receive the gospel, they come into choose an outfit. There are two showers, so we can get them to, they have, get 10 minutes of hot water each, and time to get dressed. We give them a towel. We give them a washcloth. We give them a place to put their clean clothes and their dirty clothes. And we put some music out there, and they get to enjoy 10 minutes of hot water and being loved on. So.
And that's the physical part of what goes mm-hmm. on out there, but you just keyed into what you said, and we love on them.
Yeah.
So what does that look like? You've got a homeless lady that comes in. Maybe she's not homeless. Maybe she has an apartment or mm-hmm. whatever, but she comes in a little bit beat up, a little bit broken, and needing a little prayer. Mm-hmm. What do you do in the way of showing them that you care?
Particularly there are some ladies who come back repeatedly, we can get to know them. And one lady in particular we've loved on, and we've learned she has some health issues. So we've been able to come alongside her and encourage her to get see a doctor.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and we've seen her transform. I was just talking to Fran today, just how she has transformed coming in just with some more mental challenges than she has right now, because she's talkative and she's joyful and she's relaxed. And that is the Lord working through, our shower ministry. Mm-hmm. And it is what he does. So, and I've seen other stories. There was this one lady, she could pick an outfit out. I ended up calling her Red Carpet Rhonda, because she could pick an outfit out like no tomorrow. And we would just love on her and take care of her. And she would choose her outfit. And every time she came out of that shower, she looked absolutely beautiful. I have no idea how she did it, but she knew how to pick clothes and be, and we could just pray for her and love on her.
We have folks that have been there for years and years and years. One of them has a couple of dogs, mm-hmm. a German Shepherd and stuff, and she's out there. And it's funny, you drive down the street and a lot of the homeless people know who you are. I get, "Hey, Pastor Tim, mm-hmm. how are you?" Mm-hmm. And she waves all the time. And yes, I think one of the big mistakes that people make is they think everybody that's homeless was always homeless. Yeah. And that is true in some cases. But some of these people, maybe like Rhonda, she knows how to dress because once upon a time, she wasn't out on the mm-hmm. street. And we have had a lot of that over the years. Men who have come through the programs, people don't realize, they think they're all directly out of prison. And yeah, a lot of them are. We have a graduate who was a dentist before he had an accident and a stroke, and then got into illegal drugs because he ran out of the painkillers that were prescribed. We've had a guy that owned a car dealership that hit the bottom. And so it's the same way with the ladies that are out there. Some of the ladies that were out there, maybe they got into drugs and alcohol, but once upon a time, and you can tell that too, because some of them are well-spoken and educated, and
yes,
you can tell.
Exactly.
So, but does it matter to you where they came from, what they did, who they were?
Nope. The Lord loves them, and we meet them, and He wants to meet them wherever they are in their lives, whether, some ladies do have pretty serious psychological, mental health issues. Some just are going through a hard time, and they need a shower, you know, and they need to get ready for an interview. So that's the learning who the people are and where the Lord is meeting them has probably been and seeing how the Lord meets their needs has been a blessing that it's why I keep coming back, because I get to see, not only help these ladies and be used by the Lord, but see them turn around in some cases, you know, where.
Oh, yeah. You know, a lot of people are fearful of working with the homeless. How do you feel about that?
I know that we had an electrical outage, and I couldn't go into the mission, and Kim called me on a Tuesday. I think it was a Tuesday that you guys were closed because of the outage.
Yeah, it was a Tuesday.
I hung up the phone and I burst into tears.
Aww.
Because this is just where the Lord is, and there, you know, the world is a very tough place, and to see the sweetness of the Lord so meet needs so specifically, there's no greater joy I get in my day than to be able to be used by the Lord in that way. I don't know if there's anything better in life.
I agree with you, and we can't tell by the outside of somebody what's going on in
exactly.
the inside.
Exactly.
As a matter of fact, somebody that I knew well, he was a murderer and a foul individual who was conceited, arrogant, self-serving, important, well-known, had everything going until the Lord touched him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that young man became Paul the Apostle. And so everybody who comes to the Lord is transformed in some way.
Yes, sir.
But to your point, you have to have the heart for this.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is made to come and serve at the mission. You don't always get a thank you. You don't always get a warm, fuzzy welcome.
Mm-hmm.
I had to warn a church who was sending couples out and sometimes two women at a time in the dark that was their plan. And I said, okay. And I've had to do this with several churches. The homeless are not puppy dogs. They're not, you know, you're not going to go out and everything is just okay.
Right.
You have to be aware of your surroundings, correct?
Yes, very much so.
And
yes,
so
at all times.
But, you know, you also need to know that you need to go boldly to pronounce the word of God, the gospel message. Middle name of the Union Gospel Mission is gospel, and that's the primary thing. So you have to be cognizant of where you are, but you also can't be fearful of where you are, because he's going to send you where he wants you to go.
Yes.
But I mean, I understand, because when I first came to the mission, I was driving down and I thought, okay, the people out on the street, they're probably not bathed, they might have sicknesses and stuff, but if they want to shake my hand, I'm going to do that. Well, the Lord, having a sense of humor, I'm praying with a couple. They got their arms around me. They've been on the street forever, and I'm kind of crying. They're kind of crying, and afterwards, they both threw their arms around me and hugged me. I thought, yeah, funny, Lord, thanks. But it is how it is. Now, we're down to 1 minute. So can I get you to stay for another segment?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, listen, guys out there, please tune in next time, because Deborah has a lot of stuff that goes on there, and she's just got a kind and a gentle heart. And I think you guys need to see what kind of volunteers actually come to the mission. And they're not just coming down for kudos. So as always, my dearest friends, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.
You've been listening to Voices from the Street, the radio ministry of the Sacramento Union Gospel Mission. If your heart's been touched and you want to know more about the work of the mission, log on to UGMSAC.com, UGMSAC.com. To donate clothing, food, time, or financial help, call 916-447-3268. 916-447-3268. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next week at the same time for Voices from the Street.